everybody, it's Michelle Fisher, and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, today we are talking about mass transit and public transportation. Here with us today is Aaron Bingman, Executive Director of the Central Indiana Regional Transportation Authority. Wow, that's a mouthful. Hi, Aaron, how are you?
Hi, Michelle. I'm great. Thanks for having us. And you can just call us CERTA from here on out.
CERTA is great. Yeah. That's awesome for me. That's easy. Good. So let's talk about a little bit about you first. How long have you worked for CERTA? And how have you seen mass transit and public transportation change?
Sure. I have been with CERTA since August of 2007, and I was the agency's first employee. They were started in 2004, targeting Indianapolis and Marion County and the surrounding counties, so that central Indiana region, and focusing on the idea that there's a point in our future where we can serve central Indiana with a coordinated, integrated, comprehensive transportation system that looks at all modes of getting people around the region, whether it's bus or rail, bike and pedestrian ways, door-to-door, paratransit, the whole network of mobility options. And so it's our job then to develop those systems and deliver them in a way that really meets the mobility needs of the entire region.
You talk about on your website that there have been many studies mm-hmm. done as to how to make improvements. How do these studies help you in determining and examining how these improvements need to be made so that maybe public transit and public transportation can be more appealing?
Sure. The study and analysis of transportation is typically been driven by how do we move people from place to place. And in Indianapolis in particular, we've looked at mass transit and the ways to get people around the region for several decades. And each time we learn a little bit more about the possible suggestion or the possible recommendation to do it. And right now we're in another planning process, but this one's particularly significant because at the end of this planning process, which we're calling IndyConnect, we'll have a 25-year plan, which will include both road plans and transit plans that improve mobility, create economic development opportunities, improve air quality in the environment by pulling cars off the road, and ultimately give us a long-term sustainable look at mobility and access and economic development.
And it's important, too, because people are faster paced in their life, saving money, looking to simplify. So why is this such a difficult thing? Why is public transportation so difficult to organize or get?
That's a really good question. There's a couple different answers to that, and there's not really a magic bullet in terms of the answer. Here's some of what we know. We know that 50 or 60 years ago, Indiana, the whole state, really was served by one of the best public transportation systems in the world. Indianapolis itself, as late as the 40s and early 50s, was identified as one of the top public transportation systems in the world. And when we had this innovation of the automobile and the freedom of the open road and individual mobility became the icon of success, we built and developed that way. So we had the Interstate Highway Act then, which is probably one of the single greatest infrastructure programs in the history of the nation, connect cities in a different way and give people unique and independent mobility. And unfortunately, what happened, what happened was rather than give people an opportunity and a freedom to get to where they wanted to go, we ultimately developed and grew into the 80s and the 90s and today in a society that is totally dependent upon automobile and mm-hmm. automobile infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So anybody who really doesn't have a choice of driving doesn't have freedom. The system of getting around, particularly central Indiana, or getting around any area in Indiana for that matter, is totally dependent upon your ability to have access to a car. Mm-hmm. That dependence is, in my opinion, is not independent. So we've practically reversed the trend. Now, so we've got 50 years of building infrastructure, and we got 50 years of building a culture for using cars. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, we just devalued and underfunded the existing transit infrastructure. And what we have in, you know, all the cities across Indiana, whether it's Fort Wayne or South Bend or Evansville or Indianapolis or Terre Haute. All those cities have transportation systems, and they're really on the ropes in that they've been cut and they've been cut and they've been cut. And so the folks that use that system are relying on systems of last resort. And part of the challenge, you know, your question was, why is it so difficult? Well, in addition to changing the infrastructure investments that we've made, we've deprioritized this other one, and the culture is that public transportation is only a system of last resort. So part of what we got to do is cultural. The third part of what we face, I guess, with respect to the challenges of why is it so difficult, is that there are intense upfront capital costs associated with the implementation of public transportation, whether it's the building of new rail lines, if that's the mode that you choose, or it's the reintegration of sidewalks into our neighborhood fabric, because there's a period of time here in the 60s and 70s, where 80s even, where we stopped building sidewalks as part of neighborhood development. So now there's no pedestrian mobility. Mm-hmm. And then or if it's bus, you know, buying more buses is capital intensive, and hiring more drivers to operate more buses for more frequency and more service is capital and cost intensive. So there's a hesitancy to go into investing those, quote, new modes that have been around forever and change the pattern of investment that we've made. Fortunately, there's been a shift. You identified some of those characteristics, and we're seeing it in public opinion. Folks just understand and get the need for public transportation. There's a desire and a will to change behaviors, whether it's motivated by the environment or the economy, mm-hmm. the rising cost of fuel, mm-hmm. Just the desire to live in places that are more transit dependent and be able to access transit. All of those changes and opportunities are really, for us, starting to come together into one big moment.
And, you know, as you talked, and you said, you know, this benefits in the economy, and you get to actually have freedom. Why is there, you know, for some people, why is there such a, why can't they wrap their mind, why are they so resistant to public transportation is a good thing? Why do they say, no? Is it because of money, or is it because of another thing? Are they misinformed?
Yeah, I've encountered probably all every suggestion. You know, there are some folks that think all transportation should pay for itself, and those folks ignore the subsidization of the entire highway and road system that we have in place. Some folks think it's not safe, or it doesn't go to where I want it to go, so they're resistant to riding the existing systems that we have in place, and that is really, that's a function of the underinvestment that's occurred. And I think that some folks really just embrace and love the idea of being able to get in their car and go wherever they want to go. And that's fine. No one on the side of the argument that is supportive of transit expects anybody to give up their car unless they absolutely want to.
Right.
What we're trying to do is create more mobility options and opportunities for everyone, and that the world is bigger than us, and that there are a lot of people in our state that are transit dependent. We know right now in Indianapolis and Marion County, 17% of people that use the system don't have a car or only have one car, and so they're depending on that system to get to work. And it's the same in all the other parts around the state as well.
Let's talk a little bit about people with disabilities then. You talk about transportation, public transportation provides personal mobility and freedom. Talk about that. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because independence is a right in I believe in this country, and that includes for people with disabilities. So, I think that what we have is an opportunity to develop infrastructure in communities around the state, whether it's an urban area or a rural area, that can continue to support community-based independence. You know, we're not an institution state anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly.
Hallelujah. Right.
exactly.
And thank so if we're going to have people be in the community and in community based settings, and that there are a lot of people that want to contribute to their communities, whether it's getting to work or being involved in charity or getting to church or whatever it may be. We should ultimately then offer infrastructure that allows them not to have to impose upon a loved one for a ride all the time. So this, you know, we look at public transportation and all of its opportunities, whether it's good sidewalks and ramps for, you know, for a wheelchair to get along, or whether it's that door-to-door paratransit provider, or whether it's a local bus system that somebody can easily navigate. Building up all those opportunities allows for that level of independence and self-sufficiency that everybody deserves, and that includes people with disabilities, the aging, everybody.
Let's talk a little bit about how people then can be involved. We've heard the benefits of this, and it sounds awesome. I mean, for me as a person with a disability, that's awesome to be independent. So how do people get involved? You know, you're on the ARC Development Committee. So how do people get involved? How do you see this going for people with disabilities?
Sure. There's lots of different layers and ways to get engaged. We'll start at a statewide level. First of all, it's in your community, identifying the organizations or the existing community resources that provide transit and utilizing them. Trying to find ways and understand how you can use transit and transportation to get to where you want to go is step one, just using the system, because that's going to help build the case for those folks to try and do more. I think that you know, advocates, whether it's for people with disabilities or somebody who wants to become an advocate for transit, is going to have local opportunity to participate in most of the public transportation corps around the state. That's an industry term. So most of the bus companies or the paratransit providers, whatever it might be, are going to have like service rider committees, so folks can get involved in just improving and enhancing that local service. There are a couple statewide organizations that have embraced transit and transit investment as part of their platforms. So the Indiana Citizens Alliance for Transit, ICAT, is a relatively newly formed group that is organizing grassroots statewide and wants to be involved in advocating for changes in policy and funding policy at a state level for transit. And that's going to be a big push in the 2011 session of the General Assembly to create local options for funding transit. So it could be the form of referendums, or it could be the form of county options, but we've got to get the state law that would allow local governments or referendums to occur for funding. So via ICAT, folks could get involved statewide and learn what's going on. There's also the Indiana Transportation Association, which is a statewide association of public transportation providers. There's also the Indiana Community Transportation Association, which is representative of the county-based transit providers, whether it's the rural paratransit providers or whatever it may be. Then here in Indianapolis and central Indiana, the IndyConnect process is the brand name we're giving to our planning process for regional transportation. There are ways to plug in there or by connecting with CERTA at CERTA.us and giving us your email and organization. So we've got a lot of different ways and layers to engage. I think that communicating with your local elected officials, whether it be your county commissioner or your county councilor or your town councilor or your mayor, all the way up to your state legislators and the governor, and saying public transportation is important to me. I value it. I use it. It's important to my independence.
Are they not aware of that?
Many are. You know, everybody's on a spectrum. Some get it, some don't.
In the bubble.
In their bubble. Yeah, and it's, you know, folks in the urbanized area obviously view themselves as being more responsive to people who are transit dependent.
Okay.
However, there are legislators in the rural areas that some don't realize that there are public transit resources. It may not take the form of a train or a big 40 passenger bus. They don't realize that there are, you know, fleets of minivans that are getting people to work or getting people to church or getting people to doctor's appointments or shopping, that are promoting their independence, and how important that is. So this is an opportunity through your local ARC chapter, through the ARC of Indiana, to tell that story and talk about your need and value and use for transit.
We were talking about a little bit about how people can get involved. You said there was one more you wanted to
talk about. One other way to get involved is what we've been doing, at least in IndyConnect and in central Indiana, is we're developing the long-range regional transportation plan, which includes transit. And as a part of that, we've been conducting a lot of public meetings where we present this draft plan that we have today and then engage in very personalized dialogue to get comments and feedback, because it is just that, a draft. Our goal is to have a plan adopted and finalized by the end of the year. And to make it from being a plan to our plan, we've got to get people engaged in that planning process.
Sure.
Thanks to Betty Williams and Self Advocates, we've been encouraged to host an Indy Connect workshop planning meeting at Noble of Indiana, and we're really trying to reach people in the disabilities community, whether it's, you know, advocates, care providers, of course, users themselves, to come and talk to us and help us make the plan better and more responsive to their needs. Our objective here is not to be a complaint session about the existing system. The idea is to have an eye towards the future and how we can improve the overall quality experience of mobility and getting around. Where should stops be? Where should lines be? What neighborhoods should be served? How can we serve you better and enhance products so that when we're making investments then over the next 25 years, we're meeting those needs? So we really want to get folks to turn out. That is April 29th at 1 p.m. At Noble on East 21st Street.
Can people get directions on your website?
Yeah, actually at the IndyConnect.org website. IndyConnect.org is a list of all the meetings. They can also contact the Noble of Indiana, and they can give them the address and directions to get there as well. I know that location is served by very well by Indigo and Open Door. There's a lot of folks there, so hopefully it'll be a good setting, and we'll have a good turnout, and we'll have lots of engagement.
What's your goal in all this? I mean, when you look and say, okay, we've done what we can, now all I want to do is what?
Play golf.
Sounds good.
Is
it quality of life?
Yeah, it is. It is quality of life and it's quality of place.
Okay.
For me, my long-term vision for specifically Central Indiana, because those are my constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, with respect to if it has a trickle-down effect and impacts things around the state, that's fine. But I look at public transportation very simply. It's just infrastructure. I mean, it's a pipe. It's a path. And that path moves people, okay? But it also has this magnetizing effect to draw development and land use around transit stops. And that is what gets me excited, the idea that we have the opportunity to create new places, new nodes, whether they be centers of economic activity, reinvestment in forgotten neighborhoods, that idea that we can create great places and great quality of life for people to be drawn to those areas and then connect them with this infrastructure and ultimately make a more competitive region, a more productive region. And if we happen to get better air quality and more mobility and independence for people, you know, that's sugar. That's the extra stuff.
But the
idea that we can really can build and develop and connect great places for people to live and work and play, that's what's exciting to me about the long-term implementation of all this.
Aaron Bingaman, I am so glad that I got to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. It's a pleasure to meet you.
You too.